The FAA's pace at battling airframe icing frustrates the NTSB. FAA responds by releasing an icing fact sheet. And everyone walks away from a hard landing by a commuter jet in London. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 16, 2009. National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Steve Chelander held a news conference Saturday to release more details surrounding Thursday night's crash of a Continental Connection flight into a home while on approach to Buffalo Niagara International Airport. According to reports from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle and the Associated Press, he said evidence now suggests the plane did not dive nose first into the home in Clarence Center, as first believed. While the nature of the impact suggests a flat spin, quote, all we know is that the airplane hit flat, unquote. The cockpit and both wings have been recovered. The data recorder shows the stick shaker and stick pusher had been activated, but there's no evidence yet a stall actually happened. Much early speculation has involved airframe icing, but Chelander stressed, quote, we're not saying, again, that ice caused this accident, unquote. He did express the NTSB's frustration on the topic, quote, we don't like the progress that's taken place right now. It's something that requires constant focus, unquote. As the debate about the possible role of icing in the Flight 3407 crash has come to the fore, the FAA has released a summary of actions it's taken over the past 15 years to improve the safety of aircraft that encounter icing. Since 1994, the FAA has issued more than 100 airworthiness directives involving icing issues on more than 50 specific aircraft types, ranging from operating procedures to design changes. Of particular interest to the 3407 case is a 1999 airworthiness directive that mandated activation of pneumatic de-icing boots, like those on the Bombardier Q400, at the first sign of ice accumulation. In April 2007, the FAA proposed a rule to require an effective way to detect ice buildup or let pilots know that icing conditions exist, produce timely activation of the ice protection system, then operate it continuously, automatically turn on and off, or alert pilots when to cycle it manually. The comment period closed on July 25, 2007, but the rule has yet to emerge from executive review. You can find an extensive list of FAA actions to address icing in a story headlined FAA Issues Icing Fact Sheet. It's dated Sunday at aero-news.net. A post-inauguration policy of the Obama administration temporarily blocked the FAA from being able to issue airworthiness directives. The Wall Street Journal reports a memo signed by White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel on January 20th directed all federal agencies to freeze any pending regulations that originated during the Bush administration until they could be reviewed by the new administration. The target was politically sensitive issues like mining and drilling standards, but the FAA's ability to issue ADs was the baby thrown out with the bathwater. New U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood finally took the shackles off the FAA in a memo dated February 5th. Richard Williams of Aviation Data Source in Denver says this is the first time a presidential transition has interfered with the FAA's process. There were no serious injuries reported when a British Airways BAE-146 commuter jet made a hard landing at London City Airport on Friday. Various media report 67 passengers and 5 crew evacuated after the plane skidded to a stop on the runway. 2 people were reportedly taken to hospitals as a precaution. London City is known for its unusually steep approach, requiring a 5.5-degree glide slope due to noise restrictions and buildings surrounding the downtown airfield. Up next on ANN, NBAA finds a friend in Congress on the LASP threat. The White House is down on private aircraft until it needs one. And Jeppesen puts a version of its private pilot course online. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal Tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 16th. I'm Paul Platt. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Boland was among industry association reps invited recently by Missouri Republican Representative Sam Graves to talk with members of Congress about the impact of the TSA's controversial large aircraft security program on small and mid-sized companies. Boland and Graves agreed that as proposed, LASP would be devastating for businesses of all types, as well as for the communities relying on their local airports. Graves commented, quote, "When businesses are looking at coming into a small town, one of their main questions is, where is your airport? Not having a good airport is an absolute deal breaker for companies," unquote. Boland concluded the meeting by noting that NBAA would continue to raise concerns about the TSA's LASP among policymakers. While the Obama administration and Congress portray business aviation as a frivolous toy for corrupt corporate executives, apparently neither sees any hypocrisy in availing themselves of the benefits of non-airline travel. Senator Sherrod Brown, an Ohio Democrat, needed to get home for a funeral, but the administration needed him back in Washington in time to vote in favor of Obama's economic stimulus plan, so he was provided a private aircraft by the government. A White House official admitted to CNN that despite the small size of the plane, the costs involved were higher than a comparable commercial flight. Hawker Beechcraft Acquisition Company, LLC, reports net sales of $3.5 billion and operating income of $135.5 million for calendar year 2008. The plane maker says it delivered 441 business and other general aviation aircraft in 2008, including 160 business jets, 178 turboprops, and 103 piston planes. Altogether, that's 11 planes more than 2007. Net bookings for the year were $4.8 billion, and the year-end backlog was $7.6 billion. A statement from the company says it, quote, "does not believe 2009 new bookings will reach recent year levels and anticipates declining backlog," unquote. Hawker Beechcraft says it finished the year with $377.6 million in cash and equivalents and an untapped revolving credit facility. Quote, "The company believes that its cash on hand, anticipated cash from operations, and, if required, borrowings under the revolving credit facility will be sufficient to meet its cash requirements through 2009, unquote. If you're a fan of e-learning, you may have wished someone would create an online private pilot course as classy and thorough as the one Jeppesen produces for brick-and-mortar flight schools. Well, Jeppesen announced on Friday it has now done just that. The company, which is a division of Boeing, has produced a course that's based on its textbook course, but adding interactive content to maximize retention. Among the improvements, some of those airplane maneuvers, which were a little hard to grasp in a diagram with arrows, are now animated. Jep's Kurt Thielen also notes, quote, "Since the course was developed using Jeppesen's award-winning private pilot textbook content, students have the option of purchasing a textbook that parallels the online course," unquote. Jeppesen is offering three versions, a Part 61 Enhanced Ground School, Maneuvers, and Test Prep, Part 61 with Stage Exams and Flight Lessons, and Part 141 with Stage Exams and Flight Lessons. The company says future releases will include courses for Sport Pilot and the Instrument Rating. Still ahead, Civil Air Patrol has something special for its top cadets. NASA delays Discovery again. And Charm School for TSA screeners. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your aero briefing for Monday, February 16th. I'm Paul Plagg. The Civil Air Patrol's Winter National Board meeting is coming up in a couple weeks, Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th. It's being held in Arlington, Virginia, and CAP is using the proximity to the nation's capital to include a special opportunity for 24 of CAP's top cadets in attendance. During the week of the 21st, they'll participate in the Civic Leadership Academy, described as an academically intense, interactive study of U.S. government in action, which provides lessons in persuasive leadership, federal government, public service careers, and American heritage. In addition to field trips, lectures, seminars, and assigned readings from historic and modern sources, they'll also encounter VIP speakers on site who will provide insights designed to deepen their understanding of government in action. At the end, they'll be responsible for preparation of a presentation on their experience to peers in their home squadrons. The cadets chosen will also participate in CAP's 2009 Legislative Day on February 26th by working alongside their wing commanders to brief legislators on how CAP's primary missions, search and rescue, emergency services, aerospace education, and cadet programs, have benefited their communities. Cadets will wrap up the week as special guests at a dinner hosted by the SPATS Association, a nonprofit organization of current and former cadets who have earned CAP's highest honor, the General Carl A. SPATS Award. The launch date target for the Space Shuttle Discovery keeps sliding on down the NASA calendar. STS-119 was originally scheduled to begin February 12th, but had been delayed twice by a total of 10 days due to ongoing difficulties with three flow valves that manage the gaseous hydrogen burned by the shuttle's three main engines during liftoff. The agency plans to reassess progress and announce a new official launch date target this Friday, but ANN has learned liftoff is now targeted for no earlier than February 27th. Frontier Airlines, which has been operating under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protections since April of 2008, has reported to the SEC that for the quarter ending in December, it saw a consolidated operating profit of $5.6 million and a net profit of $1.1 million. CEO Sean Menke says the company is bucking industry trends. Quote, "This is also a testament to the sacrifices and hard work put forth by all of our employees. Despite significant competitive pressure and other economic factors, we've been able to reduce our operating expenses, increase revenues, and maintain our high quality of service," unquote. Details included a reported $8.7 million loss tied to fuel hedge contracts and the sale of four A319s, which netted the company $44.1 million. And finally, the Transportation Security Administration is aware enough of its image among the traveling public to know something needs to be done, so its agents are being sent to charm school. Well, not exactly. The program is called Engage. According to MSNBC correspondent Harriet Baskis, who audited the course, quote, "The role-playing, team-building, and confidence-instilling exercises that are a big part of the Engage experience aren't all that different from what many of us go through in organizational retreats and workshops in the business or nonprofit world. So while I left the Engage class alarmed by how unengaged and by the book the TSA training has been, I'm packing for my next trip a bit more reassured by the aha statements some TSA workers expressed in class," unquote. You know, having watched the interaction of the two sides of that TSA customer experience at airports over the past few years, I have to say team building training for TSA screeners may help, but an awful lot of tardy, disorganized, rude passengers will need to do their part too. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Cirrus Aircraft President Brent Wouters about the company's transitioning from R&D to production of the Cirrus Vision SJ-50. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.